20. Apocalypto. 1/5/2013. Here's the scene. The G-Line crosstown local, rattling along the underground throat connecting Queens and Brooklyn. Ptolemus sits near the rear of the subway car. She isn't quite alone. There's a black kid at the opposite end, plugged into his iPod and oblivious to all else. There's an elderly Hispanic woman, her purse clutched close to her chest. A man, whom Ptolemy's taken for either Greek or Turkish, sits across from the old woman reading the Times. So four, only four, and she can live with four. She shuts her laptop and returns it to its carrying case, then stares at the darkness beyond the train's window, which unfortunately means staring into her own reflection, which unkindly stares back at her. The negotiations in Albany didn't go well. Too many concessions when she can't understand why they've made any at all. Moreover, the cover story that would attribute the Deer Isle incident to a reactor meltdown aboard a Seawolf-class nuclear submarine to the ensuing explosion and quarantine is just short of absurd. Perhaps the wipes were potent enough that no one much, military or civilian, quite remembers the events of the 21st of December. No one who's not meant to remember. But she seriously doubts the Navy patrol, the US Army and one collapsed bridge is going to keep that secret a secret forever. Fortunately, everyone was too busy freaking out over Maine to even broach the subject of Twisby's twinning experiment. There isn't the least sense of vindication, knowing that the theory Ptolemy passed along to the commissioner more than 3 weeks ago, the theory he then handed up to the council, appears to have been correct. Lucky fucking guess. Intuition come too late to intervene. Reflected in the safety glass, her eyes look every bit as ancient as they are, every bit as weathered as her spirit. At the meeting, no one dared use her name. Only the Egyptian. Two words to signify and summarize all the ages of an inexplicably long life. She lowers her head, hiding from the window, too much there to despise. Maybe she'll shut her eyes and try to sleep. Maybe she'll be lucky and there will be no dreams. Maybe pigs will fly. "Stop me if you've heard this one," says the albino woman standing in the aisle, the woman who definitely wasn't there only a minute and a half before. She's wearing a cream-coloured Gore-Tex parka, ragged jeans, black wraparound sunglasses, cheap sunglasses. There's a polished cross-sectioned ammonite on a silver chain around her neck. She glances towards the other three passengers, nods, then turns back to Ptolemy. The albino, the twin who is not now and never was a twin, the cipher, the black queen who is the white queen, and vice versa. To see themselves, they are gazing back. "See," she says, taking the seat on Ptolemy's right. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But right off, he was hit with a class action suit for failure to file an environmental impact statement." "I've heard it," Ptolemy tells her. "Probably before you were born." The albino pretends to look disappointed. "Bet," Ptolemy says, whispering as softly as a falling leaf. "Ivoire, Lisbeth L, the ivory beast. What am I supposed to call you?" "Elle's fine, but you can speak up," the albino says, and motions to the other passengers. "It's not like they can hear us. Hell, they can't even see me unless the mojo coming out of Harlem these days isn't what it used to be." "Do I talk?" Elle asks Ptolemy. "Or do I listen?" "Some of both, though that wasn't my decision. Anyway, we don't have too long before the next station, so, you know, choose your words wisely." "Still a lot of unanswered questions, Elle. A lot of people in your own organisation pissed off for being left out of the loop regarding Dr. Dunham's enterprise." "Too bad there isn't ever going to be time for all those answers."
"You're not sick."
"Nope," Elle replies, and smiles. "Crazy lady with a shotgun back in Stonington. She was good enough to dispatch that malignancy." "I don't get the elaborate cloak and dagger, dog and pony show," Ptolemy says, watching both their reflections now. "The breadcrumbs, the informants, the meetings in Dublin, the pirate broadcasts and the graffiti.
No one ever had to know shit about what you fuckers were up to.
You'd have to ask Twisby about that, sighs Elle.
I didn't even know myself.
That is, during the procedure. So far as I knew, every bit of it was gospel. We were two. The we of I, and all that. Quietness is wholeness at the centre of stillness, etc., blah, blah, blah.
Both personae were real. Both were corporeal.
Abracadabra.
The particle and the wave.
Exactly. But we're almost out of time, like I said. And I suspect your people are already busy running every imaginable computer simulation to determine every imaginable outcome to all these ripples. That is, if they're not too busy with the Shoggoths.
The what?
Sorry, the girl who killed me. That's what she called that nasty crap kept trawling out of the bay. Shoggoths.
You and dear Isle, Tolima says. We don't think that was a coincidence. We don't think it was only a happy, convenient accident. We think
a lot of crazy shit, and only time will tell. Maybe Twisby built herself the second coming of Jesus Christ. Or it may be I'm the Antichrist, Shiva, Maitreya, take your pick. Or maybe I'm only a trial run, a dress rehearsal for the big show, so nobody of consequence. Nothing at all but a nerdy girl who wants to go back to her stones and bones.
That would be a waste, Ptolemy says.
What if Einstein had needed a small push to get him moving? What if, say, Oppenheimer or Fermi had needed a bit more motivation? Waste is the only evil.
Okay, Elle says. My turn.
She digs a thumb and index finger into a pocket of her jeans and pulls out a single 45 caliber cartridge. It gleams dully beneath the subway car's fluorescent lights.
This was meant for you.
Tolima gazes down at the bullet.
Then why am I still alive?
Ripples, says Elle Marjoride.
I think it's about time I began making a few of my own.
Here is the day, hmm? Twisby's a sweetheart, and she means well, but she's also the one went and made a queen out of a pawn. She needs to start taking that into account. And then Elle slips the cartridge into Ptolemy's hand and stands up.
Is this the last time we'll meet? Ptolemy asks, trying not to think about how heavy the bullet feels.
Elle shrugs.
We'll know if it happens, maybe about a trillion dominoes from now.
Ptolemy tastes metal, and she licks her dry lips.
There are people looking for you and Dr. Dunham. You know that, right? They catch up with you, they won't be merciful. You've made an impression.
Introduced a new variable, says Elle, and she pokes a finger at the bridge of her cheap sunglasses.
One last question.
Okay, one last question. Ptolemy sits up straighter, glancing at the bullet and then back to the albino.
Do you miss her? Your sister, your lover? If both of you were real...
But then Lisbeth L. Marjoride is gone, as unceremoniously as she appeared. And once again, there are but four other people in the car. Ptolemy shuts her eyes and leans her head back and tries to concentrate on nothing but the rhythmic throb of steel wheels on the rails.